Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Revolution. Revolution. Wait. Oh, that's right. That's the other team that the Crafts own. Did you see where the Crafts are actually going to hit the doubleheader this weekend? Yeah. MLS Cup, baby. Saturday.
I wish I was.
Sunday. What the hell is it?
It's Sunday.
Oh,
I wish
thank
I was
you.
Joining them. I just can't
You're
get
not going?
No, I'm going to the Cup, but I wish I could then go down to San Diego for the football game.
Right. Why can't you just skip a ride
on
the helicopter?
Car. I just don't think I can make it.
Oh, well, they can't get a ride on the chopper?
I don't know if they'll let me on the chopper.
Oh, Kevin, that sucks. Well, you gotta work that out. So, as much as you give this organization.
John, if the Revs lose, then I'll be depressed and want to go to the football game, right? But if they win, I want to go.
You're
going to
want to stay and you're going to, yeah, right. I don't know. Do soccer players know how to party?
I would hope so if you win the whole damn thing. Especially when the franchise has never won one. This would be their first one. I'd like to think it would be a big deal.
You'd think, right?
I'm just looking forward to getting out of here for a day or two.
Getting away from me? Okay.
No, not getting away from you. Right. I miss you. It's the other stuff.
Don't get too sappy now. Chantal might get upset.
She's coming with me.
Come on! You're taking the girlfriend with you?
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Sweet. All right, congratulations, brother. You won't be at the game much.
Yeah, exactly. She's gonna do the Miss Robin duty.
Nice.
And help me set up the booth and
sweet.
Know, be part of our. Game
she'll be your associate producer.
She got a credential and everything.
Robin's very good at associate producing.
Yeah,
by the way.
And she does some spotting. She spots for me.
When you
do your PA duties. I gotta
admit, it's really cool when you go home and you can talk. You know,
sports.
Strategy
exactly.
And sports about, you know, spotting and who to look for and what to look for with your significant other. That is cool.
That's special.
It is very
special.
There's
a lot of relationships where, like, guys like you and me who are just sports crazed, like, we, you know, there's a lot of guys like us that are with women that hate sports. So I pity those guys.
It's probably why I, you know, was already a two-time loser in this department, so.
That's an interesting way to put it. Third time's the charm, John.
Third time's the charm. It totally is. Hey, a .333 batting average is Hall of Fame material, baby.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Who's the knucklehead that said now that Chandler Jones is not going to be back or fighting
show.
For a roster spot?
Somebody wrote in the previous show and said something about, like, you compared him to
whoever this is.
Dowling. I don't
remember this is. I'm calling you out. You are a complete and total knucklehead.
Yeah, call him the show.
You're a knucklehead. When did I say that? All I said, because both Fred and Paul looking at me quizzically, of course, Andy's, you know, he's got his head like a bobble, you know, like a bobblehead. He's bouncing up and down like, yeah. Complete and total lunacy. All I said yesterday was that he needs to learn how to stay on the field. 2 days ago. It was Tuesday that we said it because we didn't have a show yesterday. I had college basketball stuff yesterday. So if you missed me, I apologize profusely. I'm sure you didn't miss me, especially the person who I'm killing right now. Whoever it is, and I don't know who it is because all the emails are gone, but I would just, you know, if you want to, you know, write back, you want to call into the program, you want to discuss what I said, fantastic. Chandler Jones is not a bust. Chandler Jones is not going to be fighting for a roster spot next year. Chandler Jones needs to learn how to stay on the field. That's what Chandler Jones needs to learn how to do. I don't even remember. I did say for somebody that they're going to be fighting for a roster spot next year. And frankly, I forgot who it was. It wasn't Chandler Jones. There'll be several guys that'll be fighting for roster spots next year. It wasn't Chandler Jones. And if by some chance you think I said Chandler Jones, and I would even venture a guess is to say if I actually said it, I misspoke badly. There's no way that that's the truth. There's absolutely no way. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Now, Paul just said on the way out the door, he said, you know, what did you say? And I said, I believe that I said Chandler Jones needs to learn how to stay on the field. because of his injury situations and in his years with the Patriots, his short years with the Patriots. And Paul said, yeah, I'll agree with that. So there you go. Ask him yourself. You know, some of you guys don't like me. That's fine. We'll just have to learn to accept that. But clearly you're listening. Clearly you're listening. So if you got a beef with me, pick up the phone, stop hiding behind the stinking internet and the radio here, and let's discuss it. Weenies. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Of course, the toll-free number is 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. On Twitter, it's at JR Broadcaster. And Facebook is John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. It is hashtag Prediction Thursday. So how do you feel about this game with the San Diego Chargers? Now is the time to let your feelings known. Now is the time to get your prediction in. Once again, last week, we had two people, I believe, predict that Green Bay would beat New England, but neither one of them predicted the right score. So we continue to push toward getting a potential winner in our Prediction Thursday contest for a copy of the Patriots Year Guide media book. Still haven't done it. I'm a little surprised. I thought by now, this being, what is this, week 13? Week 14, actually. I thought by now that we'd have a winner, and we don't have one yet this year. So hashtag Prediction Thursday. Fire it off on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster. And if you want to do it the traditional way, pick up the phone, send the email, or you can post it on the Facebook page. And if you're not a friend on Facebook, submit a friend request. We say this for every show because it seems like every show pick up a couple of new friends, which is great. I'm glad to have you. It's my own personal Facebook page. It's not a fan page set up. You know, we talk some football, you know, during the show. We obviously talk a lot of football in between shows. People post their picks late. You know, when they see me online, we can do a little chatting every once in a while if I'm not, you know, busy doing homework or whatever. Hey, that's what it's there for. Because I'm a football fan just like you. You may or may not agree with the opinions that I have. That's fine, but that's why we have the program, so we can discuss. At least that's what we try to do anyway. The series history all time between the Patriots and Chargers is actually not all that lengthy. When you consider these were two teams, of course, in the founding teams of the old AFL back in 1960. Patriots lead the series 20 wins to 14 for the Chargers. There have been two ties. So this is meeting number 37 between New England and San Diego. It's not a lot, really, for 54 years of competition, is it? 55th year now. Not really. I would tell you that the Patriots have won each of the last two times. They won. The last meeting with the Chargers was a 35-21 win here at Gillette 3 years ago. And then the last time they played at Qualcomm Stadium was in 2010, 4 years ago, and they managed to squeak by the Chargers 23-20. The last loss to the Chargers, you've got to go back to that's October of 2008. And the Chargers blew the Patriots out 30-10 at Qualcomm. So the Patriots have won three of the last four overall dating back to 2005 with San Diego. That just kind of brings you up to date on what the teams have done recently. I just do that for a little perspective here only because other than Tom Brady and maybe Vince Wilfork, half of this roster wasn't even on this team the last time they faced San Diego. So to these guys, that means nothing. The history means nothing. To these guys, what means something is the fact that they decided to sort of take the entire operation and headquarter it at the University of San Diego this week and to practice, to kind of get away from it all. I've heard the term bonding used. I'm not so sure, and I actually liked what Bill Belichick had to say about that. He's like, you know, basically, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, we're on to San Diego. There's no such thing as, you know, team bonding going on. There might be stuff going on in and around practice, although, you know, and I ranted about this at the end of the show on Tuesday, but, you know, going to Los Angeles and running into Justin Bieber and taking, you know, selfies with him in the L.A. Clippers locker room, that was pure and total utter nonsense. And for those guys not to be aware of the fact that Bieber is an absolute disaster of a jinx, come on. And how about a double jinx for this? How about a double jinx? Who was also in on the selfie with Justin Bieber besides Gronk? Did anybody notice? in the pictures? Did anybody notice who was in on it? That would be Mr. Sports Illustrated cover jinx himself, Jonas Gray, who, of course, the week after he rushes for the 201, he doesn't show up in time for practice and sits on the bench, and he's had one carry coming last week, one carry since then. Jonas, you've got to be smarter than that. I'd like to say it was your Notre Dame education, but I'm not quite sure I can say that now. Come on. Be smart. Be smart. Okay, so it's, you know, fantasy. So it's, you know, a little bit of, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of silly. That's all. But, in all honesty, there's got to be something to it. I mean, the guy's been a disease. You know, he showed up in the Spain locker room, and they got whacked twice at the World Cup. He was in the locker room with the Chicago Blackhawks trying to get his picture taken with the cup, and they got whacked at the end of the Stanley Cup Series last summer. Goodness. I mean, the examples of him and his notorious sports failures. You know, he was LeBron James's big buddy, the Miami Heat, going to all the Heat games last year, showing up in the locker room. And I believe the Heat went down in flames in the NBA Finals last year as well. So his sports failures are notorious. Just, you know, just stay away. And if the Patriots lose this game this weekend, you know what the first nitpick is going to be next Tuesday, right? Justin Bieber. It has to be. It's a nitpick that's just waiting to happen. All right, we digress, as we like to do. Coming up on the program, actually, Russell Baxter is going to appear a little bit earlier than he normally does on Thursdays. He'll be joining us in approximately 10 minutes on the program, and that's because Tom Brady is going to do his conference call, news conference, live from San Diego in our 3 o'clock hour, so we're going to at least attempt to join that live for you here inside the playbook. So you can hear the very latest from the quarterback and from the media members who are going to be talking to the quarterback from both sides, the Patriots media and the San Diego media, in on this. So a unique opportunity for you to hear things that nothing's filtered. It's all going to happen live right here on the program. So that's what we want to do for you in our 3 o'clock hour. That's why Russell has come through at 2:30 today. In the meantime, got to get the quarterback. Got to get the predictions in for the two quarterbacks. Web radio at patriots.com. Oh, I just lost all my papers. What is going on here today? Everything's just kind of flying around. Web radio at patriots.com and the toll-free telephone number 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. All right, start on the phones. Trey is in Memphis. He's going to lead us off today in the playbook. Hey, Trey.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Good, man.
Well, I'm a little shaky about this game. Not saying that the Patriots shouldn't win. I mean, this is a game that they should win. But all at the same time, like you and I always say, this is a game that the Patriots could lose.
Well, it absolutely is a game they could lose, and San Diego is still a good football team at 8-4. They have a ton to play for with a very, very difficult schedule in their last 4 weeks. So, you know, they've got the Patriots at home. They have to look at this like a winning opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm starting, you know, I kind of hate this word, this catch word of this time of year, but I hate when they say, okay, a team is starting to get hot. I mean, but those guys have a winning streak now. You know, they got a 3-game win streak, so I don't want to, you know, I really don't like to use that word, you know, when describing a team. I mean, but they're kind of on a roll. It's a little roll, I mean, but they, which could turn into a big roll. So a lot of people, they don't understand. I mean, these people have weapons. I mean, you know, they, of course, they have Matthews of his return. They also have Eddie Rowe. They have the little running back now. I think his name is Oliver, or the little 43, or number 43. Yeah, I think that's Oliver, or the running back. He's a playmaker. Of course, they have Antonio Gates. They have Michael Floyd, again, I think, Keenan Allen. So, I mean, we're going to have to be real wise in with our matchups. So,
yep.
And looking at this past week, hey, it seems like, you know, you want to force guys to take their third and fourth option, but if we're going to cover like that, I mean, man, you know, we could be in for another tight game.
Right. I kind of agree with you. I do think it'll be tight. I feel a little bit better about the Patriots' chances this week than I actually did last week at Green Bay. I know, and you probably know this as well as anybody, Trey, that, you know, San Diego was originally, when I predicted the season, at 13-3 for the Patriots. And I guess we have some, you know, people who like to hate on me for, you know, conveniently forgetting that fact. I did say 13-3. It looks like they're on schedule, perhaps, to still accomplish that if they can win these last four. But at the same time, one of the three losses I had was at San Diego when we started the season. Right. I think I'm pretty much prepared to reverse that and say Patriots actually win this game. But, I'm not quite there yet. I want to talk to Russell about it, and I'm pretty sure I've got a score, but I'm still kind of hedging my bet for a moment. I think right now, though, it is going to be, you know, one of those, you know, one possession type of finishes, kind of like this last week was.
Well, I'll say this, the big plus for us is that, it could be a tight game until, I think Phillip Rivers will make a couple of mistakes. So I think that's going to kind of help us get some breathing room. I mean, but if we can't turn them over, I see it being a tight game. But I think the game is going to be a close game until late third, early fourth. I mean, but I do expect us to be able to get some turnovers. I mean, because you know, Phillip Rivers will, he'll have one of those games. I mean, he's kind of like Jay Cutler, man. When he's on, he's on. And when he's not, he's not. So, and if we're going to play that little spot pass rush stuff, it could be a long game, and we could very well be saying, hey, we're in trouble now.
So, right. All right, so what was your – what's your score again, Trey?
To be honest, I'm really not too – sure, about this score, I mean, but I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to go out on the limb. I'm going to say 41-27.
41-27 Patriots?
Yeah, 41-27. I think we're going to get a late turnover in the fourth quarter. Sometime in the fourth quarter, that's going to
all right
kind of help, you know, bust the game over. I mean, but the score is not going to reflect on how close the game actually is going to be.
Okay. 41-27, says Trey. Let's see if we can get Isaac in Fort Lauderdale in here. Isaac, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, Isaac.
Hey, I got three things for you, John. I want to ask you a question. And I also want to give you a suggestion about the Thursday prediction show you do every Thursday, and I'm going to give you my prediction for the game.
Go.
All right, the question is, next year, do you think that our number one need next year going next season will be a pass rush or better another cornerback?
Number one need?
Yes, out of those two, a pass rusher or a cornerback.
I think that, Isaac, that all depends on whether or not they make the fundamental decision internally to keep Darrell Revis.
I say even they do. Well, they keep Darrell Revis, so you think a pass rusher will still be number one over a cornerback, over a nickel cornerback?
Absolutely.
All right, and another suggestion, the suggestion I had about prediction Thursday was, I know you do it every week, we call in and give our predictions, but I would like to hear, like, when we call in and give our prediction, like, you know, like, explain why we think the score would be the score, just instead of just giving what we think the score would be.
All right, you got to say that again. You want to do what besides just give the score?
Like, instead of just having the callers call in and telling you what you think the score would be, just, to, like, ask them why, like, what do you think will, like, happen in the game?
Well, that's, I asked that already. Some people choose not to do that, but I asked that already.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that.
So, what do you think about the score? And tell me what you think about the game.
Well, my prediction for the game is going to be 31-20. I believe that we'll have one turnover in the game that set up for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I like Edelman to get in the end zone this game. I like him to find Grunt at least one time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Blunder running one in, and I think we'll get a field goal. And that's why I'm playing with our 31 points.
But, okay. All right, so you've got 31-20. So you think San Diego's going to get held to 20 points?
Yes, I think they'll probably get two touchdowns, two field goals, because I don't think San Diego is a bad team. I think they got a pretty good offense over there. They can't score points over there.
Okay. All right,
yeah,
Isaac.
With the way our pass rush is looking, I don't think our pass rush is not good. So think he'd have some time in the pocket, even though we got...
Well, I know, which is why I would think that they would stand to probably score a few more points than 20.
Yeah, but then, I think at the end of the day, I think the main point why they won't score more than 20, because I just don't think we're going to turn the ball over. I think we're going to do way better than converting third down this game.
Okay.
Last week, we didn't. We couldn't do nothing on third down.
All right, so you've got turnovers. All right, so you got turnovers as a factor. All right, that's okay, yeah, Isaac.
Turnovers are factors, and I think we'll convert our third down.
All right, that's good. All right, so you got 31-20. Here's Sean in Vancouver. Sean, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John.
Hey, Sean.
I have a question.
Yep.
Let's say Gronk is limited in this game and Jonas Gray doesn't get any carries, but the Patriots still win. Do we still blame Bieber for the curse?
Well, I guess the bottom line is winning, Sean. So if the Patriots somehow win, then I guess, Bieber's losing streak, his cursed losing streak, at least comes to a temporary halt. But, you know, just because every once in a while you can appear on a Sports Illustrated cover and not be cursed, it doesn't mean that the curse goes away entirely.
Maybe he'll go away. But in terms of this game, we were talking a little bit about it on Tuesday, and I saw some news that Chandler Jones is practicing now.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's been practicing this week. Now, there's really no way of knowing just yet whether or not they'll activate him. But he's looked good on the injury report thus far. The activation doesn't have to be given until 90 minutes before kickoff. I know that the PFW guys seem to think that he'll probably hang one more week before returning against the Dolphins next week, and I concur with that.
Well, I just read a little bit that he actually looked decent from people observing what was going on today. So I'm hoping that he plays.
I hope he does too, because they can use him against against Rivers. There's no doubt about it. I just was kind of looking at some numbers today, and, we talked so much about the Brady and Rodgers matchup last week, but these two guys are actually the top two quarterbacks over the final four games of the season since the 1970 AFL-NFL merger. Get this now. Brady is 40-8 in his last four games of the year. 5-4-0s in the last in the final four games. Phillip Rivers is second behind Brady with a 29-3 record in the last four games. Now that's extraordinary.
Yeah, Rivers is a good quarterback. He's not as mobile as what we saw last week in Green Bay with Rodgers, but I think that was part of the lack of the pass rush, too. I think the Patriots are really respecting.
Which is why they need the pass rush if they can get it, and if Jones can go, he should go.
Yeah, for sure. I also I'm thinking about the matchups because San Diego has a lot of weapons to throw to, and I don't see them as much of a physical threat running the ball. I think Patrick Chung.
I would agree with that.
Staying on Matthews could be okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Sean. Absolutely.
But the thing is, like, who do we see matching up? Do we see Revis on Allen? That kind of makes sense.
Well, I've taken a stab at it, and the Patriots are certainly, they're not hard fast to any certain rule here.
Right.
My guess would be, at least initially, you would see him on Keenan Allen, but I could also see him, a little on Eddie Royal. I could see him a little on Floyd. I think Antonio Gates' matchup, could end up being Browner with maybe some help over the top, because frankly, Gates is the one that's so dangerous in the red zone. So I could see the Patriots providing some help there. I also think, though, that they'll allow Revis, I'm going to say probably Allen, but you could see him on some of the others.
I could also see Gates being double teamed a bit, like having Collins and McCourty on.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible. I mean, to me, Antonio Gates worries me the most, and that's with all respect to a guy like Keenan Allen and Floyd and, Ryan Matthews out of the backfield or whoever it is. Gates is the one that bothers. He's a tight end that knows how to go after and get the ball. And I thought it was kind of, curious to see him comment about Rob Gronkowski's abilities to go do that this very week when someone asked him what he, thought about Gronk. And his more poignant point was, to mention that, Gronk, if he's gonna, stay the preeminent tight end of the game, for a number of years, kind of like Gates has done, he has to learn when to be physical. Because sometimes you have to know when to turn it on and when to turn it off, and that's what keeps you around for a few more years in this league. And Gates certainly would know because he's done it at a very high level.
For sure, and I like I like their weapons for sure. But I also see Rivers, I agree with the last caller, throwing interception. And I'm kind of similar on my prediction for the Patriots. I see Brady having a few touchdowns and this being a high passing game. And I think the Patriots will hold on to a win with 31-23
Patriots. All right, Sean, that's good stuff. Thank you. We're going to hold on, Bob and Belarco, and then the other callers that we've got coming in. Hang on, because we want to jump into the playbook now with our good friend Russell Baxter, who joins us every Thursday. He took last week off to do the travel thing over the Thanksgiving holiday. I trust that your trip went well, Mr. Baxter.
Oh, it was obviously terrific. It was fantastic. As I was just telling Kevin, got to see the White House. So thrilled to watch my 7-year-old daughter walk through the White House and more times than not look at the portraits of the presidents, John, and know who they were. I mean, it's just, you know, to be 7 years old and be able to do that, I was just very, very proud of her. So much so we got in the blue room and she started talking about William Howard Taft.
Oh, no.
And the tour guide literally stopped what he was doing and was like, wow.
Wow, so, again, that is a wow.
Them all, but she knew a lot of them and so on, and suspicions that she might have a photographic memory like her father. So,
wow.
But we went to the Capitol. My, you know, real quick, funny story. My wife played ball with a guy when they were 8 years old and kids in New York on Long Island. He now is a tour guide at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually wound up showing us around,
mm-hmm.
which was a huge thrill. And we even got to sit in the gallery for a while. Nothing was happening. No announcement of the president here, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States. But to sit and see and all those things. The main room in the Capitol is so daunting. They're doing a lot of construction right now. But they have these 8 portraits. You know, that's where they take people, you know, who lie in state, like, John, you know, when John
sure.
Kennedy died.
Sure.
And so on. And then we just got to see the statues around. But fascinating. But we also did the Smithsonian, the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, the FDR Memorial, which I wasn't as familiar with, but it's very stirring.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King. It was a terrific trip. And it's 8 days and counting, and I still haven't finished Thanksgiving dinner.
Nice. Still
I'm
going strong.
Myself, Sarge.
That's great.
Bill Murray strike.
Yeah, that's awesome. Love it. Well, that's great. I'm really happy to hear the trip went well. It seems like your daughter impressed, which it doesn't surprise me, because if she's got half the encyclopedic memory that her father has, then she's going to go places somewhere someday whenever she chooses to go forward in whatever she chooses to do.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to say. We just had fun. It was a great family experience. And it was funny. I was telling somebody, I don't know if I mentioned you last year, roughly 40 years ago, my only other previous visit to the Capitol was as a member of a high school band playing on the steps. My high school was selected to play for the Bicentennial for Pennsylvania in 1976.
Now, that's very cool.
Yes, it was. And obviously, anything that I did wrong that day in 1976, they finally got over the statute of limitations, and I was allowed back in the
mm-hmm,
building.
Mm-hmm. Well, another little...
You shouldn't have left that gum on the steps, I guess.
Yeah, they'll get you for that every time. Another little-known fact is that, you know, you probably realize, I think I've told you this, that I was a member of the University of Texas Longhorn Band.
Mm-hmm.
And we, the Longhorn Band, marched in the inauguration parade for Ronald Reagan in 1980.
Those are... And you know what? When I was in the band, my band director was very, very strict. And when you're in high school, you don't appreciate it.
No.
I now refer to him as the best teacher I ever had. And he's gone on and done some great things. When I was a senior, yeah, I know we're off the track here. When I was a senior in high school, my band marched in the Orange Bowl parade on national TV on NBC.
That's very cool, too.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, we did halftime for NFL games. I mean, it was fascinating.
I had some people in the Longhorn Band teach me some things that I will remember forever, too.
Are you allowed to talk about them?
No.
I'll wait for the book. We're all waiting for each other's book.
Okay. I love to digress, as you know. All right. Let's jump into it this weekend. Let's start with the Thursday night game tonight with the Cowboys at the Bears. And I'm only doing that because I sense that the Cowboys may be facing another December doldrum, another swoon, another potential dive at the end of the year that sees them 8-8 again for a fourth straight year. Is that even possible, you think, right now?
It is possible. And trust me, I'm sure every Dallas fan and every member of the Dallas organization isn't going going to feel very good until they get to the ninth win. Which, of course, they haven't won nine games. Think about this. They haven't won nine games since 2009.
That's amazing.
Which was the last time they won the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Reached the playoffs, I should say.
Yep.
But, you know, what I liked about this matchup, and we're also going to get this in Seattle and Philly, is the teams that played on Thanksgiving are, you know, just two games were to Mac W. So there's no real advantage here for either team. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Dallas and Chicago both played last Thursday. They're both playing this Thursday. Seattle and Philly played Thursday. They're going to play on Sunday. But again, same time between games for both teams. I kind of like that. I think that's as fair as you could possibly get. And so on. But I look at Chicago's defense. They were up 14-3 last week at Detroit. And they turned 11-point advantage into a 17-point loss. Chicago's defense, you know, we looked at both Dallas and Chicago, both porous on defense last year. Neither one is great this year, but Dallas at least keeps its defense off the field. But I think this will be a wild game tonight. I'm looking like 38-28 Cowboys.
All right. You mentioned the Eagles, of course, and Eagles have kind of taken command of the NFC East over the Cowboys. And, of course, they've got now the Seattle Seahawks coming up, as you mentioned, the game coming up on Sunday. Does the survivor of this game emerge as the Green Bay Packers' chief threat in the NFC?
Well, you know, I think more so for Seattle. Remember, Seattle already beat Green Bay this year.
They did.
But they're one game behind them in the overall standings. If
right.
they get tied with Green Bay, they would have the home field in a head-to-head matchup. Of course, Philly went to Green Bay a couple of weeks ago.
And got whacked.
They want to go back there.
No, they got whacked. That's why I asked.
But
yeah.
Here's my standard line. Everybody talks about Super Bowl champions never being able to repeat.
Yeah.
Seattle just did. Didn't they win 19-3 and 19-3 in two straight weeks?
Actually, they did repeat wins.
That's called. Isn't that a repeat?
That would be a repeat. I don't know that that's the repeat that they were intending
it's
to.
It's not, but it paves the way to for a goofy comment.
Okay.
So what I'm looking for in this game, though, is you look at what Philly did to Dallas's offensive line on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Was the most impressive thing I've seen this year because Dallas has had a couple games where they couldn't pick up the blitz, but
right.
they still could run block.
Right.
They've had a couple games where their pass protection was great, but their run block was up and down.
Mm-hmm.
They got totally dominated, that offensive line, by Philadelphia's front seven. Okay, they couldn't run. They couldn't protect Romo. Romo didn't throw a touchdown pass for the first time in over 2 years, and that was a really impressive effort. Now, Philly's got two straight home games here, Seattle and Dallas. They can make a lot of ground in a lot of different ways. But even though it's a cross-country trip, I'm leaning edge Seattle by a field goal.
Wow. Yeah, I kind of get the sense that they're coming on. Survival game within the AFC East. The Dolphins are at home. 7-5, though. They've got the Baltimore Ravens coming in. Miami's got to be right now at a stage where they have to know that it's going to probably take 10 wins to get that wild card spot. And the Ravens are probably thinking the same thing. So this is a fight to the finish.
Yeah, and there's a lot of AFC, besides, you know, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati within the division, we have a lot of key conference games this week.
Boy, we do.
Involving the teams I know we're going to talk about.
Right.
But let me do a real quick synopsis on the AFC here, because this is fascinating to me. Last year, there were only six teams in the conference that had winning records, John.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the six playoff teams.
Right.
We have 4 weeks to go. 11 teams are two games above 500 in the AFC alone.
To what do you attribute the turnaround?
It's hard to tell. I mean, it really is hard to tell. What I think part of it is, though, the bottom of the barrel in the league, and, you know, I hate to word it that way, but,
yeah.
you know, it
yeah.
is what it is.
It, right.
Okay? Remember, again, 4 weeks into this, left in the season, no team's won 10 games yet, but five teams have lost at least 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville, Tennessee, the Jets, the Bucks, the Raiders. I think teams, to a degree, have fattened up on those teams. And you think about what, you know, the play of the AFC North this year and the teams that they've had to play
mm-hmm.
as well. But, I mean, it's such a wild turnaround, which is, you know, we could be looking at three teams winning records in the AFC this year that are not going to make the playoffs. Okay? Now, inevitably, one of these 7-5s is going to come all the way back down. Okay? Because inevitably, it just happens that way. I'm not sure who it's going to be. But, you know, you got three winning teams in the AFC East, you got three winning teams in the AFC West, and you got four winning teams in the AFC North. It's crazy, but a lot's going to get sorted out. We've got Indy, Cleveland, Buffalo, Denver, Baltimore, Miami. I'm leaning Baltimore in this game, to be honest with you. But I'm not as confident as I was feeling a couple hours ago when the news came down about Haloti Ngata getting suspended for four games. That's obviously a big blow to them.
Sure is. And that's a big piece of news for there. You mentioned Buffalo, and I think the tendency might be to say that Buffalo might be one of those teams that slips back. They do have their hands full playing at Denver, but, you know, our PFW guys here, they seem to think the Broncos are getting ready for a stumble here in December.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills pulled an upset here. I really wouldn't, because they have the combination to do what needs to be done to beat Denver, okay? Their run defense is very stout. Even they've had some ups and downs in the last couple of weeks. But can they stop Denver from running? And we know they can pressure the passer. We saw what happened with Peyton Manning in St. Louis. They could do something similar to what the Rams did. I know the game's in Denver, but, I mean, Denver lost the game to San Diego at home last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Denver like 23-21, but I'm telling you right now, I would not be shocked if the Bills went in there and pulled out. I think the Bills, they're in a position they haven't been in a long time, just like the Cleveland Browns. And I think they're feeling kind of confident. And could you imagine the irony of Kyle Orton going back to Denver and beating Peyton Manning?
Love it. That's sweet. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, columnists just, you know, they thrive on, right?
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, that would be a huge, listen, the Bills haven't had a winning, first off, for the first time since 2007, the Bills will not finish last in the division. That's something to celebrate.
Step in the right direction. That's right.
They haven't had a winning record in 10 years. Okay, and obviously not been to the playoffs since 99. So, they've had their pitfalls this year, but when it's all said and done, they're sitting at 7-5. And I think sometimes you're like, how did we get here? Well, who cares?
Right.
We got a shot. And they do have a shot.
The other interesting intra-conference game, Colts at the Browns. Cleveland decided this week they're staying with Brian Hoyer and not going to Johnny Football at quarterback. I happen to think that's probably a good move and probably a majority move for the locker room in Cleveland. But at the same time, if not now, when for Cleveland in your regard as far as the future at quarterback?
Well, I don't disagree with you, but at the same time, I don't know if it's the quarterback that's the main problem with the Browns. I think the lack of experience of being a winning team. I've now seen this three times with the Cleveland Browns this year, John. Big win followed up by mystifying loss.
Mm-hmm.
They blow out the Steelers, they lose to the Jaguars. They blow out the Bengals and Cincinnati, come home and lose to the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Last week wasn't necessarily mystifying, but they followed up the win in Atlanta by looking inept offensively at Buffalo.
Yep, right.
So they haven't strung together anything since early in the season. And I know Brian Hoyer has struggled. I will say this. If this was an experienced quarterback sitting behind Brian Hoyer, I would understand the change a little more coming. But now, as they said in Airplane, I picked a bad time to give up drinking. Okay? I don't know if this is the right time to start your rookie quarterback and have him make his first start.
Right.
So, and by the way, there's Johnny Football, and then there's Andrew Football, who threw 5 touchdown passes last week and having a hell of a year for the Colts.
Yeah, I think we've seen that. Already over 4,000 yards passing on the year as well. One of those 7-5 teams in the AFC you were talking about on the road in an interconference game, Chiefs playing at the Arizona Cardinals. And this is an opportunity, I think, for the Cardinals to show everybody that they're not, you know, pretenders other than contenders since they've lost Carson Palmer, is it not?
Well, I think it's a chance for both teams if you think about it. And again, the beauty of, John, you and I have talked enough times. You were with me at ESPN. Nothing rankles me more than if the season ended today.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're that anxious for the season to end, please go follow some other sports.
I totally agree with that. I mean, we do that all the time just for conversation's sake, but you're right.
I get it and so on. But as I pitched one year as a piece, I said, okay, if you want to do this, why don't you do it after week one? Now, that would be impressive. You know? So anyway, but here's my point on that. A couple weeks ago, we're talking about the Cardinals winning 6 in a row and the Chiefs winning 5 in a row.
Right.
One team's 9-1, one team's 7-3. Well, barring a tie, which I won't rule out because we have ties in this league.
We've shown that.
Each of the last 3 years.
I know, we have shown that.
Either Bruce Arians or Andy Reid is going to have a team with a 3-game losing streak. They're both coming off double losses. They're both struggling on offense to a degree. Their run defenses are feeling the brunt of that, especially the Chiefs, who couldn't stop Martavius. Murray.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Martavius. I'm going blank for a sec. I don't want to get him mixed up with the kid in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I know what you're saying.
I think it's Latavius Murray.
Yes, Latavius. Yes.
Right. Who ran for over 100 yards on four carries. And then last week, C.J. Anderson bludgeoned them. He had over 200 yards rushing. Kansas City's near the bottom of the league in run defense. Arizona's given up its two biggest rushing outputs the last 2 weeks, but I think a lot of that's the fact that their offense can't sustain anything. You know, they've done it a lot. Listen, both these teams have come big strides, especially the Cardinals, you know, when you look at all the people they lost during the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City's done it more after a slow start. But one of them's in serious trouble here. I think it could be the Cardinals. I wouldn't be surprised if this was even an overtime game. But I think I still think Arizona will make the playoffs, to be honest with you. I just don't think this is the week that they're going to rebound. I think Jamal Charles will prove to be too much for them.
All right, well, that gets me then to the Patriots and Chargers. I had to talk about the Chiefs because they were a Patriots winner over New England earlier in the season. The Chargers find themselves in a rather unique spot as well. They're 8-4, and yet it seems like a lot of people are sleeping on them. They got a 5-1 home record as well. How much does last week's hiccup at Green Bay, do you think, hurt New England this week in San Diego?
I don't think it hurts them at all, as a matter of fact. The thing that impressed me about New England last week, and I know this is going to sound odd, but, you know, this is when I was watching the game, I know Green Bay had 478 total yards. I know Green Bay had the ball for almost 37 minutes. But the tempo of the game was a Patriots game. It wasn't a Packers game. And Green Bay made some key plays down the stretch, the sack on Brady, the Randall Cobb completion that, in essence, enabled them to kill the clock. But I thought New England went in there and they were just fine. They were physical. They ran the ball as best they could, given the situation. You didn't get a lot of tries because they didn't have the ball that often.
Right.
But I don't think it hurts them at all. In fact, this stretch that the Patriots are in right now, this is what I was most curious about. Indy, Detroit, Green Bay. I mean, this is like playing playoff teams. I mean, this is like Denny Crum in Louisville playing all those good teams before he used to get to the NCAA tournament every year.
Right, exactly.
So I don't think it hurts them at all. Meanwhile, I understand people's trepidation on San Diego. Yeah, they lost to the Cardinals, then they won 5 in a row, and then they lost 3 in a row, and now they've won 3 in a row. Okay, so they've got kind of that, you know, they're doing the wave, and so, which is not the worst thing. You've been to San Diego, some nice waves out
there. That's also true.
Okay, but I heard either your caller or your guest pick New England 31-23.
Yep.
I can't agree with that. I'm picking New England 31-24.
Okay, one more.
Yeah, I just think New England has too many ways. And Phillip Rivers has had a terrific year. They just got Ryan Matthews back. I know their defense is improved from a year ago, but I don't know really how good it is. And I think the Chargers will score. I don't think there's any question about it. But I don't know if they can really stop New England from doing what they're doing, and who knows what New England's going to do. Is it going to be 40 runs? Is it going to be 40 passes? That's what makes the Patriots so dangerous right now, because I get the feeling that New England thinks they can do anything they want on offense. I don't think Green Bay really stopped them last week, except the fact that they were able to keep Brady and company off the field.
Well, that was the biggest thing. You know, they just couldn't, the defense couldn't get off the field on third down, and Green Bay just dominated in time of possession, and that's really where the game was lost last week as far as the Patriots are concerned. The big number I've looked at this week, the one that seems to make the most sense of any, Brady's 5-0 against Rivers and the Chargers. The Patriots are 5-1 against San Diego overall since Rivers became the starter. The one loss was when Matt Cassel was the quarterback.
Yeah, that was a Sunday night game, if I remember right,
uh-huh.
In San Diego,
mm-hmm.
Something like 30-10.
Right.
Something in it.
Yes, 30-10. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. I do remember the Chargers going to New England and snapping New England's long winning streak years. I think, was that 2005 or whatever? But I think that was pre-Philip Rivers.
Yes, that was pre-Philip Rivers. Yes, I believe
I think
it was.
It was pre-Philip Rivers, and 2005 wasn't the greatest year for the Patriots. That they were like a 10-6 team and eventually lost to Denver and so on. Yeah, this has been a rivalry of sorts. You know, cause remember, you had those years and they had each other in the playoffs back.
Sure,
back,
sure. That's right.
Know? And remember, San Diego looked like they were the number one seed. New England went in there, some goofy plays that turned out to be Marty Schottenheimer's last game. A year later, they played in the AFC title game. So, you know, things have kind of cooled off between them as far as a rivalry the last couple of years. I remember LaDainian Tomlinson being very outspoken about the Patriots when he was there and so on. But I just think New England's in a nice groove, and I think right now it kind of takes a really good effort, or almost a really great effort, to beat the Pats right now the way they're playing. And that's what they got from Green Bay last week, okay? They did get a great effort from Green Bay, even though, again, New England's defense only gave up two touchdowns last week.
That is true.
Up all those yards. So, I mean, I don't know about you, Brandon Browner has added a little physicality to that defense.
Yes.
And, you know, that's the bottom line of what it's all about eventually. You play physical football like that, you're going to win a lot of games. And even if you have shortcomings, the problem is, I mean, and the nice thing for the Pats right now, offensively, they don't seem like they have any shortcomings. 2 months ago, their offensive line was in disarray. I don't see any disarray right now. They seem to be clicking.
You know, the one thing that does concern me the most, Rivers leads the AFC, completing almost 70% of his passes, and they certainly aren't a team that's going to give up on you in the end, because they scored with, what, less than a minute to go last week against Baltimore. So the fact that they have that going for them, plus the home field advantage, is why the Patriots need to put a little bit more than just, I think, a one-possession result or a score up on the board in the fourth quarter to feel completely comfortable here.
Well, listen, you're going on the road for the second straight week. You're going cross-country. You're playing a team that was in the playoffs last year and won a road playoff game at Cincinnati. So to get out of there with a win, regardless of how it is, I think is impressive. So if we wind up looking at this stretch, this four-game stretch that we were all talking about, Colts, Lions, Packers, Chargers, and the Patriots come out of there 3-1 with two road victories, and a route of a team that's given up the fewest points in the league,
yeah,
that's a nice 4 weeks worth of work.
It would be a good 4 weeks worth of work, and it would probably put the Patriots, you know, firmly entrenched again as an AFC favorite, even though they've kind of fallen out of the entire NFL lead. But I think that really doesn't bother them as much as they were just kind of ticked off at themselves for having opportunities and not cashing in against Green Bay.
Well, there's no doubt about it. But, I mean, when you watch them play, you kind of – you see that edginess that they had years ago, okay? Even different from these teams that scored 500 points and so on, because of that physicality, because of the way they're running the football, because of the effectiveness of their passing game. You can sense that this team has a different feel to it. Even, like I said, the ones that have won a lot more games. There's a little more certainty ever since they kind of started putting this together. And it might be the game against the Colts that wound up turning the season around for them. You know, even though that was in the middle of the seven-game winning streak, the fact that they did what they did on a Sunday night and went into that building and won decisively can't be ignored. So I think the way they're playing right now, they have a good rhythm, they have a good tempo. But I will say this, if by chance they lose Sunday, get ready for the dynasty is over. Here it comes again.
Okay.
I mean, you know it's coming.
Of course it is.
You'll see me on Twitter every once in a while going, what's wrong with the Patriots? What's wrong with the Seahawks? What's wrong with the Redskins in 3, 2, 1? Okay?
Okay.
I mean, you know they lost two in a row. It's the end of the world.
Yeah, so. I know. And it would be. It would be. It definitely will be Armageddon.
Oh,
around
my
here.
Goodness. They would drop all the way to 9-4.
Yeah. It's Armageddon. That's exactly right.
By the way, I will also say this. They win on Sunday. Would that give them 10 wins?
Yes, it does.
Double digits again?
For a 12th straight year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the burden we bear. Cross we bear. Albatross we wear.
You know, for a team that doesn't have it anymore, they certainly seem to have something.
They manage every once in a while. They kind of do. Russell, it was great to hear about your holiday. Thank you so much for sharing some time with us again here on this Thursday. And I'm ready for some nitty-gritty. We're getting right down to playoff push time coming up in the next couple of weeks here.
Oh, it's really going to be fun. Like I said, it's fascinating the way the conference lays out in the AFC. And that's not to take away anything from the NFC, because a pretty good team is going to wind up missing the playoffs there because of the NFC South ramification.
True.
But, hey, those are the rules, you know? So, you know, you see teams, as the Patriots know, they missed 1 year at 11-5. And then, of course, we saw a team 3 years ago win the Super Bowl at 9-7 and give up more points than they scored.
That's also true.
That's how it is.
7-9 teams will make the playoffs, too. So that's just the way it is until somebody says there's a better system.
No, listen. I don't know about you. The NFL doesn't seem to be hurting for anything.
No, they're not hurting for anything. Yeah,
not at least the product on the field. We can get in a whole different discussion now.
Yeah, and popularity and all that other stuff. You're right. All right, chat at you next week. Thanks, man.
You got it.
All right, Russell Baxter, the pro football guru himself, profootballguru.com. Find him on Bleacher Report, Cold Hard Football Facts, all over the place as far as digital football coverage of the National Football League is concerned. But he's right here in the playbook every Thursday, and you don't want to miss it. All right, Brady hasn't started yet, Kev? Not yet. All right, we're still waiting on Tom Brady and his news conference in San Diego to begin. And again, we're going to pick it up live for you here inside the playbook today and give you a chance to listen in unfiltered to all of the reporters' questions, because it'll be both New England and San Diego media visiting with him today. And because of the time difference, we got a chance to do that for you here, so we're going to take advantage of it here today. In the meantime, let's get to the phones, and then forgive me if I interrupt you once we get into Tom Brady, but we'll lead it off out west with Belarco in Los Angeles. Hey, Belarco.
Hey, John. I listened to that podcast on Tuesday because I missed the beginning of it, and I listened to that portion with Chandler Jones.
Yep.
While I do remember you didn't say that he's going to be fighting for a roster spot, you did say that he needs to learn how to stay on the field.
That's exactly what I said. Correct.
However, I do think that that kind of implies that you're saying he's an injury-prone player.
It says that he has trouble staying on the field. That's nothing to do with injury proneness. I mean, you can't do anything really about injuries, because there's a difference between being injured and being hurt. Okay? If you're hurt, then you don't need to be playing, because that can mess with your career and that can also hurt your teammates. If you're injured, there's a difference. You need to be able to get out on the field and help your teammates, and sometimes you got to play through it. Certain players on this roster have been accused of this in the past. My hope is that Chandler Jones does not become one of those, and that's all I mean by that. Okay. Don't try to read between the lines something that just didn't there.
Okay. Because I was looking at those stats, and in the first 2 years, like, he played 30 out of 32 regular season games, so he only missed two. This seems to be like kind of his first, like, major injury where he missed, like, 5-6 games.
Yeah, well, he's missed some time now in the last 2 years. So the tendency now, the trend, is starting to be he's off the field more than he's on it. All I'm saying is, if you're able to play, dude, get back out there.
Yeah, that's true. And as far as San Diego is concerned, some San Diego websites are saying that the game is sold out, but there is a dirty little secret. The secret is that a lot of Patriots fans bought those tickets. There's going to be a huge turnout.
That's great.
And yeah, definitely. And I don't mean any disrespect to San Diego Chargers, but I mean, they're a good team, but nothing about them is, like, brilliant. They're good, but nothing about them is brilliant. I feel like our team is elite, and that's why we should win this game. I mean, we should have won the last game of Green Bay, too. You know how I feel about that.
Sure.
But we definitely need to win this game. I think we will win this 35-24.
All right, that's good stuff, Belarco. Thank you. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I think we're getting ready for Tom Brady. So if he comes up momentarily here, then we'll cut in. Let's get Bob and Virginia in here real quick. Hello, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Bob.
I think we have a problem. As the season goes on, you know what happens. Teams seize on other teams' weaknesses, and one team will expose a winning team, and then other teams will follow the blueprint.
All right.
I think we have a problem with the third corner.
We might
do it.
Yeah, and they brought Denard. They brought Denard in last week, so yeah, I can certainly understand that. Sure. Yeah, I can understand where you come with that, and that might be a need that they kind of go to in the off season. But that obviously is a discussion for another day.
You don't want to have that discussion today?
Well, I'm not sure what is it going to have to do with this day. What is it going to have to do with this week? You can only play with the guys you got, Bob.
Yeah, well, I'm worried about other teams in San Diego and on down the schedule trying to exploit that.
Well, they can, but I would also tell you that the Patriots do, and the Patriots are probably as masterful as anybody in covering up their warts. And so if they've discovered they have a wart, and I'm not entirely certain that the wart you're trying to point out is a wart, in fact, because I think that, you know, it, the third down or the nickelback, as you call it, has largely been handled pretty well by Kyle Arrington this year. I'm not sure why Logan Ryan got the nod over him last week, because Logan Ryan was miserable against the Packers. And to me, you know, one of the reasons why the team lost the game last week, if you're going to call out guys, let's call them out. They brought in Alphonso Dennard, who's been, I guess, in the doghouse much of this year. Maybe it'll improve. I don't know, but I think the depth might be there to kind of fix the problem that you're perceiving they have.
Okay, thanks.
That's all. Simply. You got a pick for this weekend? I guess not. Bob does not have a pick for this weekend. Did you say Gronk was up on the podium? All right, let's go ahead and listen into some of that, shall we? Rob Gronkowski, Patriots tight end, live from San Diego.
Oh, definitely. Whenever you see a tight end at that caliber, playing every single week, at what is it, his 12th year, and going out there every week and making a huge impact and making huge plays and looking like he's like in his early 20s still. I mean, it's unbelievable. So obviously he knows what he's doing, and he's a player to look up to, no doubt about that. And it would be cool to talk to him and learn what he's done the whole time, to keep playing and keep playing at that high level. So he's a great player, and I definitely look up to him.
Hey, Rob, you and Antonio are on the brink of becoming the first tight ends to have 4-10 touchdown catches in your careers. What does a milestone like that mean at this point in your career?
As of right now, I mean, not really worried about any of that. The thing I'm really focused on is getting a victory every week and going out and doing my job, and everything else just going to take place on its own. So just go out, do my job, and make plays when my number's called, and help out the team.
You guys have been able to bounce back after losses.
Oh, you guys got Brady.
We got Tom Brady here, so I guess they're going to move Gronk out and move QB12, TB12, right to the podium.
That's awesome. It is.
What's
a little different.
Speaking of a little different, what's the week been like for you out here?
It's been good. It's been good. I think, you know, we've had a good couple of days. Got off to a good start yesterday, so still kind of early in the preparation. But now it starts to feel like California weather as opposed to yesterday. So hopefully we can have a good day of practice. I think the guys have had a lot of time to kind of be together and spend a lot of time that we don't typically get to spend. So that's been a real positive.
How nice has it been for you being from California? I know it's business, but just to be back in the home state.
It's fun. It's fun. I mean, I love, you know, yeah, I was born and raised out here. So I didn't really spend too much time in San Diego, although my best friend went to this school. So I had a few visits when I was in Michigan coming down here. And it's always been a fun place to be.
Tom, you and Philip Rivers are two of the most expressively passionate quarterbacks in the league. You also have reputations for being clutch, especially your records in December. I think you're the two best in that department. How do you think that that enthusiasm and passion might help in big moments of the game and even more big moments of the season?
It's a good question. You know, I always say it's really a game of emotion. And yeah, you got to be at your best when the game's on the line, and I think that our guys have always figured out a way how to do that, especially this time of year. And December is when football season is what it's all about. So, you know, regardless of what you've done to this point, you know, it's everybody's season is decided, you know, at this point in the year. So, this is when you got to be at your best. And you know, we got to a little bit of a slow start last weekend. Hopefully we can rebound this weekend and go out and play much better.
One of the links between you and Philip are your December records are both very good. How much pride do you take in that December record?
Well, I think, like I said, that's the strength of our team. That's not, you know, my strength. I think that's, you know, really speaks to the work ethic, the discipline of our guys, the mental toughness. You know, it's not easy to get up every day, you know, on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and, you know, grind through it like we do. And, you know, I think that although there may not be really short-term positive feelings from some of those things, in the end, that's when it pays off the most. So I think you just got to grind through it. And, you know, it's hard for everybody. I mean, it feels a little easier out here on days like this. But, you know, ultimately it comes down to your execution, how well you go out and you play. And, you know, like I said, our team's always done a good job of that this time of year when it matters.
Last week you had to abandon the run a little bit. So how much has it been a focus for you guys this week in order to get the ground game going so you can run the offense the way you like to?
Yeah, that's important. I think it's always to be balanced is really important. I thought we ran it really good last week. and I think we've been running it good for a while. I think we just got to figure out how to run more plays so we can get more runs and get more passes, get more yards, and I think that speaks to a lot of things, third down conversions, and it's a very complimentary game, so we got to do enough things to stay on the field, which enables us to continue to run the ball and stay balanced. You know, last week we were behind all game, so you don't want to, it's not the way to play in the NFL. You don't want to really be behind too often.
So you guys have, you appreciate the game, Tom. Coming up on Sunday night, two of the arguably the greatest tight ends in the history of the game will be out there, in Antonio Gates and Gronk. Kind of your thoughts on that?
Well, they're both great players, and I've been a big fan of Antonio Gates and his style of play. He's been doing it for a long time. He's at such a high level. So, you know, Gronk's a phenomenal player. He's a great part of our team, and they're two great players. It's really a tough matchup when you play guys like that. I think that particular position, especially for us and how important it is in our offense, and I know it is in San Diego's offense because you watch him play, but it's just a tough matchup. You get a big guy who's got a lot of movement skills. You know, he's got size on the smaller guys, and he's got speed on the slower guys. So, and then unless you double him, then it frees everybody else up. It's a very important position. And, Phillip does a great job finding him. We were watching clips of him this morning against Seattle. Three touchdowns, drawing pass interference penalties, and he's just, he can do it all. He's been doing it all for a long time. So, hopefully we can really limit him. We're going to need to.
Gates said that when he looks at Rob, he says he might want to take it easier on his body if he wants to last in this league. You have played with Rob since the day he got in this league.
Yeah.
He's not really capable of any other speed than the one he has, right?
Well, he's a different style of play, and I think, Antonio, when you watch his style versus Rob's style, they're a little different style. Rob, he's had a couple tough injuries, but he's a tough guy, and he plays the game just how he knows how to play, and he tries to run people over, and he's a big, strong guy. He's got to use his body to his advantage and also play smart. I mean, I think that's – you got to be out there helping your team win. In order to do that, you got to be healthy. And, that's a challenge for everybody.
What stands out to you about the Chargers' defense?
There's a lot. I mean, they got a real good pass rush. Freeney's been, kind of a pain in our butt for a long time. He continues to be, so – they got a good athletic group of linebackers, and they rotate a lot of guys. And then the secondary is, really solid. Eric Weddle's one of the best safeties in the league. He's just free all the time, finds the ball. He's a really smart player. You could see how he, really brings that whole defense together. So they got a lot of good players. They're 8-4. They've had a great season. They went on the road in Baltimore, beat a really good team on the road. It's just tough to do. That's what we're going to need to be able to do.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so there you go. Tom Brady from San Diego with members of both teams' media out there covering on the football field or on the practice field just out adjacent to the University of San Diego. Kind of cool. I'm glad we were able to get that out there for you today because of the time change and the difference in the West Coast, East Coast. We're able to bring that to you since we're not usually on the air when this kind of stuff takes place. So pretty neat. All right, back to the phones for guys that have been hanging on for a while. Umar in Provo, Utah, you're up next in the playbook. Hey, Umar.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Jeff?
Good, buddy. What's happening?
Hey, I just wanted to say, remember the scores every time we played the San Diego Chargers and how lucky we were?
All right. Say that again because you're garbled a little bit.
Oh, sorry. No, I was saying that I'm dreading this game because every time we played San Diego, we won. The score was like what?
Oh, gotcha.
23-20.
Right, okay.
23-20 every time. And,
yeah.
And we sort of got lucky on those games, but so I don't know.
Well, I'll be honest, the game concerns me just because San Diego is 8-4, and that should at least command a little bit of respect. I am leaning toward the Patriots, and right now I'm thinking about 31-26-ish. I think Russell just had 31-24. I just seem to think that San Diego is going to keep this within, a one-possession game. It is their home game. I do expect the Patriots to come out with a little bit more of a vigorous attitude about themselves because I think they felt like they were hamstrung a little bit. They just didn't have the ball enough last week against Green Bay. So I think now that they recognize what the pitfalls are, I think they'll hopefully take a measure or two to keep that from happening this week against San Diego. And the Chargers are not Green Bay. Chargers are good. They're not Green Bay good. They're close, but they're just not. So I think the Patriots are a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah, it's true that last week game was sort of weird. But from what I remember, last time we went down to San Diego, they made like some dumb mistakes, like turned the ball over in a weird way. Remember the rookie had his first NFL catch and then got him to the ground, put the ball on the ground, started clapping. Then Ninkovic realized, hey, he wasn't touched, so he picked up the ball and we scored. And I don't remember the last two the two other turnovers, but I thought that. They pretty much gave away that game, and yeah, we scored 23 points, but it wasn't all generated by the offense. That's what I'm saying. It's you know, that we have to play well. So your score is 31, you said?
I'm going to go 31-26.
Oh yeah, 31 points. Yeah, all generated by the offense, you think, or are we going to be helped by special team or defense?
You know, honestly, I hadn't really broken it down that far. I think that the Patriots' offense will probably be good for at least three drives. Maybe they're able to get a turnover that will help generate another drive and probably good for a Gostkowski field goal in there somewhere. Other than that, you know, that's just sort of a general thought. I think San Diego's going to score some points because they're at home. And I think that they will take advantage of New England. In particular, they'll figure out a way to, you know, hook up with Antonio Gates for one, if not two. That to me is you know, kind of where I came at it. It's just sort of a loose feeling, based on nothing more other than what the averages are for each team as well. Patriots are still averaging around 31, 32 points per game. I think they'll be right around that.
Okay, all right then. So I'll go for, we're going to win 25-21.
All right, Umar.
Yeah, and then what do I get if I predict the score?
If you have the score correctly, you win a copy of the Patriots Media Guide yearbook.
Okay, all right then. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, good. All right. Thank you, Umar. Here's Kareem in New Jersey. Hey, Kareem.
John, what's up, baby?
What's up, man?
Not much. Hey, is it me or these guys have a little too much fun in San Diego? I don't know, man. I don't know. It feels like a vacation. I don't know if they're really practicing, bro.
You know, I don't, you know, it's kind of funny. Matt Slater was asked about that yesterday because he's one of those California guys. He went to UCLA and he said, you know, it is, he said, we do keep having to remind ourselves that we're not on vacation. I cannot imagine that coaching staff and Bill Belichick is not working their butts off to the point where they don't have time to think about it.
Absolutely. But here's the deal. If you heard, you know, Pat's chat yesterday, Rivas kind of slipped a little bit. If they're home, they're only off on Monday, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So Slip said, Rivas said, we had a couple nights to chill. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. So you are on vacation. Because if you're in Foxborough, you are practicing, you know, technically 5 days. Because, you know, there's game day and there's Monday is off. So I have 5 days of, I don't know. I mean, I hope to God that they're not taking this game lightly. So...
I can't, you know, honestly, I can't imagine, Kareem, that is even in their stratosphere. They don't take anything lightly. These guys, even the younger ones on the team, and we've talked about it several times, you know, throughout the few weeks, last few weeks, that, you know, half of this team wasn't around the last time they were in a Super Bowl. So I would tell you that even so, these guys learn from the other guys who have been around for a little bit by example. And the guys that are on the team are hungry enough to the point where they realize they have a chance here to do something special. They had a little hiccup last week. All of the problems that they did have last week are correctable. They're not facing what I would call an elite team, but they're facing what I would call a very good team. And I think we all know that there is a difference between those two types of teams in the league. And there's all kinds of teams. There's elite, there's good, there's mediocre, and there's crappy. And I don't think that they're any one of those other than they're pretty good. 8-4 is going to get you that. 8-4 right now is going to get you into the playoffs, and that's where they are. Now, if they lose to the Patriots this week, then they're going to be, you know, in a real dogfight because, you know, they've got Denver, San Francisco, Kansas City in their last three games. So that's really an uphill battle. And they've got this one at home. And so they know that they got to take advantage of having the Patriots, a team like the Patriots, at home. And they're not going to miss out on this. And I'm sure that that has been pounded into the Patriots' heads.
Absolutely. Hey, John, remind me, did the Chargers lose to Miami? I mean, they got shut out. In San Diego, or was that in Miami?
In Miami. It was in Miami. Yes, that was in Miami.
Okay.
Correct.
37-0, right?
I believe that is the case, yes.
Yeah. I mean... I don't know, man. We have a big chance, don't get me wrong. I need the next four wins, man. I need the next four wins just to secure the first seed, baby.
I'm ready. I think you'll, you know, honestly, I think you'll get it. Now, that, again, going out on a limb here, but I did predict 13-3 to start the year.
I know you did.
I'll stay true. I'll stay until they show me otherwise. I'll stay true to my pick.
Okay, fair enough. Here's my prediction.
Go.
I will go 34 Patriots. Let's give the other guy 30.
34-30. Well, that's a good close game, Kareem.
Yep. Figured, I mean, these guys are going to make plays. You know what I mean? They're going to score. Phil Rivers is just really on target. He has his moments, but he has some beast, man, on his side.
Right,
so.
Right. All right. Very good.
All right, sir. And we'll see you Sunday.
You got it, Kareem. That's good stuff. All right. Kareem's in New Jersey. There's time for you at 855-PATS-500. Toll-free 855-PATS-500. Predict the score. Patriots, Chargers, Sunday. Let's get a break in here, and then we'll reset. I got a ton of emails to get to. Got some Twitters to read. Twitters. Tweets to read. Facebook posts. It's still time for your phone calls. Good stuff today right here in the playbook.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Want to step inside the playbook? Hit up John toll-free on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the man, the myth, the legend himself, John Rook.
Legend in my own mind, without a doubt, 855-PATS-500. That's the number to call, 855-PATS-500, webradio@patriots.com for Prediction Thursday, at JR Broadcaster. That is the Twitter handle. So bring it. Let's hear your prediction. What do you have? Here's Noel in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm great today. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Let me get you off this speaker thing, if I may.
Awesome. Go right ahead.
That's better. Thanks. Okay. I was bummed a little bit about that game in Green Bay, and I picked 13-3 as well as you did. But this game coming up here, and I put a big number on Green Bay, and I shouldn't have after watching the accuracy of Aaron Rodgers. I know that now.
Sure, right.
But I think this game is. I think this is a more of a statement game now than we've had one all year long.
Right.
And I think we have to win this one handedly. To take us into these last three games against the division foes, don't you think?
Well, this is certainly the one that you can send a message with, without a doubt, based over the last three, because they're all division games. Now, I have to admit, a month ago, these three division games didn't really seem like they were going to be much. Two of these three division games that are coming up are against teams with winning records right now. So I think it's still going to grab their attention. But if you are going into San Diego and you are taking care of business against a team that is 8-4 and you show up well, bouncing back from a disappointment last week, then yeah, I think you sort of reestablish yourself.
I wasn't. You know, I hate to lose. I love golf. I'm a scratch golfer, and I like to win money on a side and so on. But the other thing too is this game here. The game in Green Bay doesn't upset me nearly as much as it would be to lose this one, because the one in Green Bay, we had no pass rush, and we still hung in there, and. I wanted to ask you this question. I asked the other guys this question, but I never got it answered. If Chandler Jones doesn't come back for some reason, is there other options that we have with a Zach Moore or someone else to go in there and put on a pass rush? Or do we have anyone that can do this without?
No, I think you'll probably continue to find them sort of piecemealing it if Chandler doesn't come back. You know, he's out there practicing this week, Noel, if you hadn't heard. So I don't know if that means they're going to activate him for Sunday or not. You know, my whole issue was I wanted to get him back on the field because I kind of sensed that there may be a tendency toward him, not being – able or even willing in some instances to play hurt as opposed to being injured, because there's a difference between the two. In this game, you must play hurt. You don't play injured, because then you're not helping anybody, including your teammates. There is a difference between the two. And I didn't want him to fall into that, because you can see that the guy's got an incredible amount of talent. But other than that, I mean, you know, I want him out there just as much as the next Pats fan. And I'm guessing that if he's not out there, it'll probably come next week at home. And frankly, that's almost what was intimated when he went down a little more than, what, 5-6 weeks ago. They did say originally, the original prognosis I thought was 4 to 6 weeks, and I think we're at 6 weeks right about now.
Good. We need him out there healthy is what we need. I'll give you my score so other callers can get an opportunity here. I like this game at 42-28 because I don't think – I like Rivers. I think Rivers – I really respect Rivers. I think they can put up some points on the Patriots. So I'm going to – but I think we're due for a 40 kick here, 42-28.
42-28. All right, you're in for 42-28. Now, that's a big spread, Noel. You've got plenty of confidence there.
No, I do in this game. I have confidence in this game, but I think that we'll score a good number of points, and I think San Diego – can put points on the board as well.
Okay. You got it. 42-28. You're in. How about Eldridge in North Carolina? Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Mr. Legend, how you doing?
Good. In my own mind. Legend in my own mind, Eldridge. We used to...
In your own mind.
Yeah, there you go. Let's clarify.
Okay, clarify. Well, I had a bad feeling last week going with my Pats. Going with my Pats again this week.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be a lot closer by the thing. I think it'll be 27-24.
Ooh, so you like it nice and close this week.
I think it's still going to be close because we still got that same problem we had for the last 3 years.
Okay.
That's that third, that nickel back, corner back. Even though, I know you said Dunn come back or whatever, but Dunn, Arrington, and Ryan is not just against the receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if they put them in the slot, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They can't hang with them. So that's still going to be Achilles' heel.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get somebody that got some speed with a little courage skill, we're going to always have that problem. And that pass rush, you know, they put a little pressure on Rodgers, which I'm glad. I hope they put a little bit more this week on Rivers, even though Rivers got a hurt rib. But he still managed to come back against Baltimore. And Baltimore got a little bit better defense than what we got.
Okay.
So they can put pressure on the quarterback. So that's why I'm going
27-24. All right, Eldridge. All right, you got it.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week, I'm sure, at some point. All right, still plenty of time. If you want to get your picks in at 855-PATS-500, or you have any other questions about the team as well overall. We were hoping that we'd get a chance to hear from Escal from San Diego, but, you know, once the news conferences and all the media stuff is over, which we did get a chance to hear just a little bit with Gronk and with Tom Brady about a half an hour ago. And if you're just tuning in here on the live broadcast, then just bring in the podcast and go back about 30 minutes from right now and you'll find it. It's all there as it happened as we unfolded with the members of the Patriots and San Diego media out at the University of San Diego. In the meantime, let's get some other comments in here. Web radio at patriots.com, Facebook, and at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Luke says, John, what do you think the Patriots will do with Aaron Dobson? It's clear he failed. He will be released in the offseason. Pat's back in business. He says 39-17 against the most overrated team in the NFL. Whew. I'm not so sure I feel the same way, but okay, Luke. I don't know that he's necessarily failed. I think that he is kind of I think the Patriots saw something else in him that he hasn't lived up to. I think I made the analogy earlier that they thought Aaron Dobson was going to be what they got, what they're getting now out of Brandon LaFell. And as far as I'm concerned, this is his second year, so I think he's got another year left. So I think he could be fighting for a job next year, but I don't think he's necessarily gone in the offseason. I think they'll give him a chance to fight for his job, but he certainly will be fighting for a job if he does come back next year. That's Aaron Dobson. And that's who I was thinking of the other day, where a listener might have misconstrued me saying Chandler Jones is going to be fighting for a job. No, that would be Aaron Dobson to be fighting for a job. Pat Bowen in Agawam says, John and Kevin, I think the Pats bounce back big, take advantage of a weak secondary. Brady has 4 touchdowns. Gronk catches 2 of them. Pats roll 41-24. Well, if Brady has 4 touchdowns and Gronk has 2 of them, then they will roll. I can imagine, however, that San Diego is going to be ready for that. Let's see if they can stop it, though. They do have one of the better safeties, I think, in the league in Eric Weddle. You know, that's something that we haven't really focused a lot on this week. I fully anticipate, as a free safety, there's liable to be some help over the top on Rob Gronkowski. So I think that Weddle, who wears number 32 for the Chargers, I think you'll probably see him in and around number 87 for the Patriots. Or is that number 69? I can never get it straight. Steve and Colleen says, John, first I'll take any beef that anyone has with you. Toss on my grill and serve it with a side of jalapeno cornbread with bacon and make everyone happy. Dang, that's really nice. Thank you, Steve. And, of course, bacon, as we all know, makes everything better. Makes everything better. Got a trouble? Got a problem? Spread some bacon. Eat some bacon. That'll make it all better. Steve says, on to the prediction. This is the Patriots bounce back game after loss. I'm going with 39-23. Patriots. 39-23. Glenn in Ottawa, Ontario. Pats 30, San Diego 23. That's his pick. Gabe sent this note. From Pennsylvania. He says, yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, I did see it. I don't know if anybody else has seen it, but Tom's new commercial, that he's a telemarketer. I'm sure you guys have probably seen it on several social media sites, but it's out there, so it's pretty cool. I did see that. Thank you for sending it. Chad says, Rook, the team held the Packers, who were averaging 50 points a game, to 14 lucky points. Well, it wasn't quite that way, but I think I understand your point, Chad. Patriots scored more touchdowns than Green Bay last Sunday. San Diego gets blown out. We've seen these scenarios before. They happen every year. Rivers is 34 years old. Next year, Tom Brady had played 5 Super Bowl finals by the time he was 34. He says, Pats 38, Superchargers 13. Did we play Eric Song this week? Nobody's played Eric Song this week?
He's not here.
Oh. Should we have at least one memorial playing? Of...
No, that's bad luck.
Oh, that's bad luck?
You don't want that. Not on the week we play him.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just going to, you know, make a mention that it's maybe the worst all-time, you know, fight song slash theme song ever.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Okay, well, that we can do. Philip says, do you think the Pats offensive line was exposed last week against Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers? Brady was constantly under pressure, producing 3 and outs. If we convert 2 or 3 of those third downs, giving the defense more rest, I think we could have held the Pack to maybe one less touchdown. He says, I'm predicting a 27-20 Pats victory this Sunday if Brady stays clean. You know, that's an interesting point, Philip. I think that there was something to what you're saying. There was some pressure. I don't know necessarily that it came from Peppers and Matthews. I'd have to go back and look at it again. I've looked at the game twice. I just haven't been looking at the line play succinctly or seriously this week. I'm not so sure that it was because he was under pressure that the offense produced 3 and outs last week. That's a two-way street. I also think that there's, props that you got to send the way of the secondary. Converting 2 or 3 more of those, giving the defense more rest, I'm not so sure makes the difference. I mean, see, to me, Green Bay set the whole tone and the tempo for that game by their offensive game plan. And it's up to New England to do something about that defensively. Now, the offense certainly could have helped. By A, scoring more, B, certainly, and that this leads into that, holding onto the ball more. So I understand what you're saying. I'm not entirely certain it would be that way if we had a do-over, but that'll be a discussion for if we get to the Super Bowl and play those guys, because it's not, you know, a fait accompli that Green Bay's going to be there. I mean, I realize that they hung half a hundred on Philadelphia, but the Eagles are coming on strong. And don't forget about the defending champs. I'm really looking forward to watching that Seattle-Philadelphia game this weekend. I think it'll be a very good one. And don't be surprised if the winner of that one ends up in Arizona. Clay in Foster, Rhode Island. John, I just don't understand the game plan for last week, so I don't know what to think for this game. All right, that makes two of us, Clay. After the shanky offensive performance at Green Bay, I'm reluctant to predict a 40-burger or more. I do think the defense will snap out of their funk and get off the field on third down, and hopefully the O-line will wake from their nap before Brady gets rattled. We'll pull away late, so let's say 38-13, Pats. I don't know if they keep San Diego that low, but thanks, Clay. He says 38-13. The offensive line was shaky, but it wasn't horrible. I've seen worse performance from the offensive line this week. And I think part of that is you have to give Green Bay credit for the way that they came into the game. I mean, we've had several people, and in fact, talked to, I think it was Eric Friends from Boston.com on Tuesday's show, where he was talking to a longtime Green Bay beat writer after the game who said that, you know, that's the best he's ever seen Mike McCarthy game plan for a particular opponent. That McCarthy, you know, gets hammered in Green Bay for, you know, being Bill Belichick, except not as smart on the field in football matters. But that was the best game plan he had seen of McCarthy in years, maybe ever, since he's taken over as head coach. If that was the case, and I really don't know enough about Green Bay to be able to make a definitive a counterpunch or counterpoint on that particular statement, then that should tell you that, you know, well, the Patriots probably are sore from that. They're probably smarting a little bit that they didn't do a better job, and they should have done a better job during the game. They were so close to winning that game anyway. I think they'll be motivated this week. Plenty motivated. Drew in Bowie, Maryland. I think the Pats had an inevitable loss to somebody to get out of the way. No, we are leading by the skin of our teeth. A loss puts us out of a bye week, so our key this week is a recentering sense of urgency. He says, Patriots 34, San Diego Superchargers 24. And then Clinton, son of Drew in Bowie, says, Patriots 42, Chargers 13. A lot of people picking routes in this one. A lot of people picking routes. You know, if this game ends up close or San Diego ends up winning this game, and it certainly is possible, and I realize a lot of you don't think it is, but it is possible, and I will tell you that. In light of, you know, some people, you know, calling me a knucklehead or an idiot or, you know, PFW, wonks screaming something else, that I'm not enough of a pom-pom cheerleader. All right, proof's in the pudding. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm way better against the spread than the PFW guys are this year. Not for nothing. John, I think the Patriots are going to smash the Chargers. Bill Belichick is going to cook up a Pat rush, and our offense is going to get on track. Pats win 45-17, and Justin Bieber comes out with Floyd Mayweather all the time. He never loses. You know, I guess I didn't realize it, because I don't really follow Justin Bieber, Michael, so thank you for that. If he comes out with Floyd Mayweather all the time and he never loses, that's fine. Then why is it all over, you know, social media that Justin Bieber is this huge jinx? Just saying. David says Patriots win 34-17. Gustavo says Pats win big, take out frustrations on the loss, and they beat up on the Chargers 45-27. All right, still got some time for you to send it. Webradio@patriots.com if you like. Here is our friend Max in San Diego. Max, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John. How are you?
Great, Max. I know you're fired up.
Always. Always, but especially for this game. Are you joking me now? Come on now. I'm forward deployed in enemy territory. Hell yeah, I'm jacked up for this game.
Understood. So now give me, kind of walk me through what your tailgate pregame is going to be like, and what the festivities will entail, and what's going to be there. And for those of us that are unfortunate enough to miss the occasion, I'd like to kind of feel what you're going to have.
Well, it all starts with the, personally, I'm not, my family and I aren't going to the game because we're not, you know, I don't feel it. $300 to $500 a ticket is worth it at this point.
I understand. I understand, and I know there are a lot of fans who feel your pain.
You know, and I'll figure out to the Super Bowl. Yeah, I don't care. You know, I will be paying for that one. I will be going for that one.
Well, see, now you're just being fiscally prudent. You're saving up the money for the big one.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But they have to get there first.
Right.
I understand that.
True.
So, but that leads me to say, I'll start with the Saturday night. We have the Bolt Buster Bash, which is going to be at our favorite sports bar, Players, in Claremont Mesa.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Pats fans coming in from all over the world. So this is kind of like our little mini Super Bowl type of game. It rarely ever happens, but when it does, we go big. We party huge.
Yep.
Though I'm not sure who's coming to that. Sometimes Mr. Kraft comes. I mean, he might show up this time. He might be a little late because I hear the Revs are they're playing for the MLS Cup. Am I right?
They're playing for the MLS Cup at 3 o'clock on Sunday, so there's plenty of time in between games. You can get both in your schedule pretty easily.
Gotcha. Okay, there's that. And then, let's see, there's Sunday morning. Everybody's going to start arriving at Players early because the whole idea is for us to pack that place. So those of us that aren't going to the game, mm-hmm. we're going to pack that place. It's going to be, I'd say, 90% Patriots fans. Maybe you'll have everybody else and just a few Chargers fans here and there.
Okay.
But everybody going to the game is going to be tailgating all day. You know, start juicing early in the morning.
So. What's the cocktail of choice, Max?
Out here, Samuel Adams.
Okay. Really? So you're gonna you go Boston up on him with the Sam Adams?
Todd, I'm gonna tell you right now, the word revolution is big out here for those of us that are New England faithful. I mean there are plenty of us. We don't do we like the local beers and stuff like that, but when it comes to us, there's something about when New England comes to town. It just seems to bring out the revolution in those of us that are born and bred there.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. I certainly do. I know that, you know, even though I'm not born and bred New Englander, I find myself every once in a while when I go visit family in Texas and I ask for Sam Adams and I get a kind of a strange quizzical look. Like, well, yeah. I don't think we carry that. And I said, sure you do. Go look in the cooler.
Yeah. You're going to have to dig to find it, but I know
what you care. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so that's pretty much how it is out here.
All right.
It's going to be insane.
I like it. Now, you know, overall, I assume that, you know, San Diego fans have to feel pretty good about how their team goes into this one because they got it at home. But realistically speaking, can you make, you know, sense out of anybody who might be impartial, anybody in the media talking about the Patriots? What's being said about New England out in San Diego?
Out here among the true, well, I'll start with a true fan, and then I'll end with the sometimey fans. And they're, keep in mind that the majority of Charger fans out here are mighty sometimey.
Yeah.
The consensus really out here among the true fans and among the media is that it's going to be a tight game. It's going to be close because San Diego has a lot to play for, as does New England.
Sure.
We have the top seed to play for, and we have to win out in order to make sure, because you have Denver competing with us on the other side. Even though we're on the tiebreaker, we can't fall behind.
That's correct.
So there's a lot to play for on both sides. But if San Diego loses, as you were saying earlier in the broadcast, if San Diego falls behind, then it becomes a dogfight on their end. They mm-hmm. have to win out in order to keep pace, in order to keep their wild card.
Yeah, I think 10 wins is still going to get it done. So that means, yeah. You know, San Diego goes 2-2. They right. should be okay. They should be.
Right, yes, absolutely, and that's pretty much the word on the street out here.
But where are they going to get those two wins? And so you got to feel like, you know, they know that they have a chance at home this week.
Yeah, they definitely feel that way. But here comes the fun part. The sometimey fans out here, as I told you the other day, they're predicting a 65-0 shutout.
That's just ignorance, Max. You know that.
No, it don't even qualify as ignorance. It's ignorant. it don't even rate full ignorance. It's just ignorant. So
I like that. I'm going to steal that. That's good, man.
Go ahead. Feel free.
Ignorant.
Ignorant. You might dig that.
I do.
So my prediction would have to be, this is, I predict it's going to be
66-0.
Yeah. I wish. Well, the only way that would happen is if they decided, you know, screw this, we're just going to put all Pop Warner plays in, you know, all three sides of the football, and then, you know, on either team, and just that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Well, since we both know that ain't going to happen, I don't think it's going to be like that. I'm predicting, I would say, a close game somewhere in the avenue of around 21-14 Patriots. That's what I'm thinking.
21-14?
I'm thinking 21-14.
Wow, you like it. So you like it low scoring then?
The only reason I like it low scoring is because in the beginning, it depends on who wins the toss. If we win the toss and defer and get by, and our defense doesn't get them off the field,
yeah,
their first series,
yeah,
and Brady doesn't go down there and score six, you can't settle for field goals. You have to score six and get on top of them early.
Yeah.
If that scenario happens, which is very believable that it could happen, then we have a chance to shut them down early. If we don't take the crowd out of it, it could very well be a long day. Because, mm-hmm. like I said, there are a lot of sometimey fans there. And if you score, if San Diego's behind at least one or two scores, that's when they start leading, even for a big game like this.
Got it.
It just really depends.
Got it. I think that's actually smart, and I would tell you that, you know, getting the jump on them on their home field is extra important this week. The Patriots could not do that last week against Green Bay. Green Bay turned the tables on them, took the ball rather than deferred since they won the toss and kept the ball out of Brady's hands. For once, I want to see the Patriots take the ball if they win the toss and shove it down the other team's throat. That's That's what I want to see. You've got to take the crowd out of the game, and you've got to put the other team on their heels already from the start, because then you have a tendency to make them more one-dimensional. And for the life of me, I realize that, you know, it works more often than it doesn't, but you have to switch it up from week to week. You can't be stubborn in deferring all the time. I think that's just a terrible way to do business.
Yeah, absolutely right. Now, here's just one other quick note, and then I'll end it really quickly. Here's my personal view on this. I'm not a football coach. You know, I'm a retired Marine. That ain't my thing. I wish, you know, it makes a lot of money. I'd love to do it.
Sure.
But I don't have the credentials. But if you know, all you need to know about football is know tactics. If you know tactics, you know football. So my tactics would be, or my offensive strategy would be very, very simple. If I were Bill, I would go after them through the middle. You've got two power backs in Gray and Blunt. I would run Gray, run Blunt. I would right hook and left hook them for, I'd say, the first 2 or 3 minutes. Wear down the interior of the defense. Mm-hmm. Then I would pull your two tight end looks out and then wear out the middle. Then I would spread them out, go shotgun, go no huddle, and just continually wear them down. I want them gassed. And then I would go for the jugular. Then on defense, I will leave them. I will continue to do the opposite. I would be aggressive. I would sit back, be aggressive, continue to be aggressive, have them on their heels, leave them one avenue for escape, and then I would go for the jugular and destroy them.
Dude, if I had to be in a foxhole, I'd want you right next to me.
Same here, man. Well, it's all I do when I was enlisted, man, I read Sun Tzu.
Nice.
The Art of War, cover to cover.
Yeah, that's
reading among officers, but enlisted cats. Not really, but I read it, and I loved it.
Well, I think it's great that you guys were all on the same page.
Yeah, this is a good strategy.
And I'm glad I'm on your side.
Hey, I wouldn't have it any other way.
There you go, brother. Hey, have a blast this weekend, Max. I'll check in with you soon.
You too, John. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
As always, thank you for taking the time. Max is in San Diego. He's a good fan. It sounds like he knows a lot. I think that's great. Muhammad gives this one. He says Pats will bounce back 36-24 is what he says for his pick this week. Got some tweets in here. Let me share some tweets here. Oh, goodness. All right. Here we go. Ray says, John, my prediction is Patriots bounce back and impose their dominance on San Diego offensively and defensively. 42-22, Pats, he says. Chad goes with Revis gets a pick six. Pats buzz the Chargers 35-16. Jose says, I think the Pats bounce back and BB doesn't outsmart himself. 33-30. Ooh, he's got a close one there. It says New England 33, San Diego 30. What else do we have here? Prashant, John, my prediction for this week is Patriots win 34-27. Ed says, Chargers are hot, but I always like New England in December. Pats 34, Chargers 28. Jacob goes with 34-23. Pats with a strip sack for a score. Yes. Strip sack would be nice to see. Score would be even better, but that just means that they're getting some pressure potentially on Phillip Rivers, which we didn't see a lot of last week, or certainly not enough of to really do any definitive damage. Ray, I think he said this earlier. Did I pick this one? 42-22 was his score. Chad, we had... Where are the other ones here? I got to scroll down through them again. Pardon me. I think that was it. Yep. Okay. That's it. Now let's get to Facebook, because there were a ton of them on Facebook. Marcus says, Tom Brady is 5-0 against Rivers. He'll make it 6-0. Pats 34, Chargers 13. Mary Beth says 34-28 Patriots over the Chargers. 34-28. Then also Christopher on hashtag prediction Thursday. Patriots 42, Chargers 35. Now that's a shootout that I think the good folks at NBC on the Sunday night game would love to see happen. Don't you think? Oh, yeah. 42-35, shoot them up, spread them out. Christopher, 31-17, Patriots over the Chargers this week, John. That's my prediction. Lock it in. All right, Chris, you got it. 31-17, Pats over the Chargers. Dave says, JR, short and sweet. Brady and Bill are pissed at that loss to Green Bay. I think we'll see a lean, mean team this week. I am concerned about Julian Edelman not being 100%, however. He has been fighting a bit of a hip injury. Him only playing two or so snaps in that last drive last week is a big reason why we couldn't get it done. But he says 34-20, Pats. Hashtag prediction Thursday. Onique, hey, John, happy Thursday. I think the Pats will bounce back offensively and defensively this week and win a much-needed game to keep the number one seed in their control. My prediction for this Sunday night game will be Patriots 38, Chargers 20. And down with Justin Bieber. And let's go, Patriots. Couldn't agree more. Aaron says, on prediction Thursday, nothing is more of a nightmare to other teams than a pissed-off Tom Brady. And that's exactly what we got. Look out, San Diego. We're on a mission. We're in, you're in our way. 37-20, Patriots. Gabriel chimes in on top of his post here on Facebook and says, Pat should be firing on all cylinders. Back to do your job and on to San Diego. Pat's 37, Chargers 24. Okay. He says, oh, and no beef with you, John. I think you do a stand-up job. I look forward to hearing you on the playbook every week. Thank you for your support, Gabriel. Adam says, hashtag prediction Thursday. What's going on, John? Patriots bounce back this week and win 34-26. All right, Adam, thanks. That's still a one-possession game. Still a one-possession game. Russell, let's see. He says, hashtag Rivers runs dry. Pats beat the Bolts 38-17. D kicks it up a notch. Blunt punches them in the mouth, and Revis doesn't give up the big play. Love the show. Keep up the good work. That's my prediction Thursday. That's good stuff. All right. Thank you for that. Did I have another one here somewhere? I thought I might have overlooked it and scrolled down against it. Nope, I guess that's it. All right. We got it. Look, I think it's going to come down to a couple of things. Number one, the time of possession again. That's a big issue. They failed, I don't want to say miserably, but, you know, anytime you only hold the ball for 23 minutes, chances are you're not going to play to your optimum performance level. Patriots only had 57 snaps of the football against Green Bay. And that's really not going to beat too many teams, much less a team as good as the Packers. I also think that because of the fact they couldn't control the tempo in the game, they didn't really get a chance to punish Green Bay on the ground like we all thought that they could. And really they did. They still rushed for almost 5 yards a carry. They only carried the ball only 18 rushes against the Packers last week. So, number one, you've got to control tempo and you've got to dictate, you've got to apply your will on the opposition. That has to be job one this week. The Patriots have to play their game. They can't let San Diego, they can't just sit back and defer and let San Diego push them up and down the field on that opening drive, because that's what teams do. Now, granted, the Patriots, at least defensively, are holding teams to 3 in the red zone. Not all the time, but they did a great job of that last week against Green Bay. Now, Green Bay would have put a 40-burger up on the board if those field goals had been touchdowns last week. You don't want to put a team in position to do that. You don't want to put that extra pressure on your defense to do that. So flip it around on the other guy. Number one, you're in enemy territory this week. So seize control. Dictate tempo. You tell them how you want to play. Don't wait and react. Be aggressive and go forward. And that's really the biggest beef that I had with last week's game at Green Bay. I thought the team was on their heels on both sides of the ball. I want to see them get after it. Take the ball, go score, make the other guy one-dimensional. It makes too much sense. You know, that's where we've all, at one point in time or another, had some problems with the choice of the play calling this year and the decision-making in that process that leads into some of the play calling. You can't argue with 9-3. It's not exactly nitpick Thursday here. But the fact of the matter is, I think you could reasonably expect this team, had you been more wise about your decisions on the field, this team could easily be 11-1. We're going to kiss off Kansas City because I don't think that one was happening. That was a complete and total abomination. But you probably win that game in the season opener against Miami, and you certainly win last week's game. If you're a little smarter and you see the big picture a little bit better. Sometimes I think the Patriots get blinded by, the blinders that, you know, like you put on third-blood horses. They can't see what's around them because they're focused on the finish line. And I understand the thought process, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I think every once in a while you got to step back and get the bigger picture. And I just don't know that they had the bigger picture against Green Bay. What they tried to do against Green Bay ultimately did not work because there's an L on the ledger. You can say, well, it was only 26-21. Well, we had a chance, you know, at the end of the game. Okay, yeah, but what was the final score? No one's going to remember how the game played out. They're only going to remember the final score. That's what goes into the record books. That's what goes into the history books. That's what people remember. Wins and losses. The rest of the stuff matters not. So, aggressiveness, getting off the field on third down, and San Diego does a pretty good job with that. You know, I was going through some of their statistical highlights this year. Rivers, 69% completion percentage, second in the league, fifth in passer rating, seventh in TD passes, ninth in yards. He is only one of three quarterbacks in the league to have 25 touchdown passes or more for seven straight seasons. The other two are Peyton Manning and Drew Brees. He's thrown for two or more touchdown passes in eight of the team's last 11. He's thrown three or more touchdown passes 38 times in his career. The Chargers are 29-9 when he does that. Something to watch for, I think, on Sunday night. Chargers are third in the NFL in third down efficiency. That's what worries me the most. Third in third down efficiency. Patriots have to get off the field. That'll be the key to winning this game. If the defense can get off the field and let the offense and give the offense enough time to do their job, again, we go back to the mantra, do your job. The defense has to do their job. They've got to get off the field on third down. That is key and job number one for Sunday night. If they do, the Patriots will be 10-3. They'll have 10 wins for a 12th straight year. If they don't, then the buys for the upcoming playoffs in another month are wide open throughout the entire AFC, and the Patriots will have nobody to blame but themselves. All right, thanks to Russell Baxter, our pro football guru, for his usual visit on Thursdays. Thanks to everybody who's chimed in with their cards, their letters, their calls, your predictions. We'll recap and regroup next Tuesday with Nitpick Tuesday. Should be a dynamite game Sunday night. Good luck to the Revs as well, going for the MLS Cup on Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles. Anybody notice? You got the Patriots in San Diego. You got the Revs in L.A. What else? The Bruins are actually playing San Jose, I think. And believe it or not, the Celtics aren't on the West Coast. They're playing here, but guess who they're playing? The Los Angeles Lakers. What's up with that? I don't know. Just one of those weird things. It's time for me to go off on a tangent. Fantasy football concert coming up next. See you next Tuesday.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.